lying, and Greta Garbo is probably crying, while Robert Taylor is locked in her dying embrace. Chico and Groucho and Chaplin and Lloyd are all super. Sweet Mickey Mouse, Shirley Temple, and dear Jackie
Yes, let's go to the movies. Let's go see the stars. I am joined in studio by our resident movie reviewer, Big Kev, Mr. Kevin Suarez. Kev, how are we doing this morning?
I'm good, and yourself, Sean?
Yeah, can't complain, mate. We've got a couple of films this week. What are we looking at?
So we're looking at The Sense of an Ending, and the one that a lot of people are looking forward to, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean. Okay, first off, we're kicking off with this The Sense of an Ending, right?
Yes, we are. It stars Jim Broadbent as an old guy who discovers that a woman has died, his ex-girlfriend's mother, and so he reminisces on her life and the fact that she has willed him a diary of one of his former friends. So then he reminisces on his time with his friend who's passed away and who has whose diary he's going to be getting. It's a bit of a complicated story. It's mostly like told in flashbacks as well. And the main theme of the story is how memory deceives us, especially so long after the event happens. Like, it's Jim Broadbent, as he is now, roughly around 70 years of age, reminiscing on something that happened in, like, the 60s and the 70s, and how our memory can deceive us, right? And how some things that you think happened doesn't actually match up with reality.
So reading his ex-girlfriend's diary, seeing her perspective on events, and then remembering his own sort of remembrances on these events.
Not quite. He's trying to get the diary, but the ex-girlfriend doesn't want him to have it.
Okay.
So, and they both start reminiscing on, you know, how he thought that they sort of left off on a bad term. That was her fault. But then she says, no, it wasn't what you think at all. And that he did something that he was apparently so traumatic that he just blocked it out of his memory. And so it's a really fascinating theme. And I actually, it doesn't make the theme that obvious to begin with. It doesn't try and present itself as, you know, he's losing his memories or something. It doesn't say anything like that, and they don't outright say you're remembering it wrong. But when he reminisces, there are things that don't match up with the general story, things that seem a bit off, right? And I loved it, especially the acting from all of the characters involved in the flashbacks and in present day, especially for Jim Broadbent. Unfortunately, as much as I like the film, it does tend to overcomplicate things a bit too much for its own good, adding in a couple of things that might confuse the audience a bit further, especially since they don't outright, as I said earlier, that doesn't outright state, you know, that this movie is all about memory. It's something that you sort of have to figure out for yourself.
All right. So, yeah, lovely little drama film, British-American drama film, starring Jim Broadbent, and obviously some larger themes coming into that one. Worth seeing?
If you're a fan of Jim Broadbent, and especially of BBC films and drama films, then yeah, it's definitely worth a watch.
Excellent. So, our next one, as I say, that one we haven't heard. I can't say I've heard a great deal about that one, but our next one has been sort of coming to the screens for quite a while now. Pirates of the Caribbean number 5, I believe. Number 5.
Yes, number 5. Who can believe it? I mean, Fast and Furious are already up to, like, number 8 now, and, you know, Pirates 5 doesn't seem to be going the same way. Like, Fast and Furious, like, as a franchise, they're just taking off, and Pirates of the Caribbean is just sort of floundering in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Yeah, unfortunately, it's overwhelmingly mediocre.
Oh, and, okay, yeah.
They're trying to, sort of like what the most recent Star Wars film did, number 7, like trying to go back and use some plot points and borrow that for the present film. Pirates of the Caribbean tried to do the same thing, and it doesn't really work out so much. The monsters seem like they're ripped out of, like, one of the previous films. They have the same sort of shtick that they can't walk on land, sort of like Davy Jones.
Okay, yeah.
And so, like, a lot of other plot points seem really familiar as well. Like, there's just too many to count anyway. And not only that, but I sort of don't really feel that spark that Johnny Depp brought to the role of Captain Jack Sparrow. Like, it may be a possibility that it's because of, you know, his personal life at that time when he was filming in Australia. As we know, he was battling, you know, the Australian government, and he was having issues with his ex-wife. So maybe that may have, like, sort of affected his performance. I'm not that sure, right? But he just doesn't have that same sort of zing that he had in the previous films.
So, sort of a bit of a rehash. I mean, I certainly liked individual aspects of the last film, the number four,
yeah.
but certainly compared to the trilogy, the original trilogy of Pirates of the Caribbean, it felt very much like sort of a re-go over. It felt a little bit unnecessary. And obviously this one, although I heard some people who obviously really liked it, this one, by the sound of things, is really rehashing things again.
It is, but there are some positive things to look at. Like, for example, it adds new characters, which I know with number four, they added a lot of new characters as well who aren't really that memorable. Mm-hmm. Like the one that was impersonating Jack Sparrow, and all I remember is this priest that wanted, that fell in love with a mermaid or something. I remember that.
He was like Will Turner. He's like Orlando Bloom's character, but just on paper thin, sort of paper thin. I did love the villain. Who's the fella who played
Javier
him?
Javier Bardem.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about number four.
Ian McShane.
Ian McShane, terrific actor.
But like in here, like the supporting cast are great. The new characters that are introduced are actually interesting. Like the main female lead is a scientific sort of whiz kid who is interested in science. But at that time, like the 1800s, you know, if you're a woman who's interested in science, that's, you know, completely unacceptable. But mm-hmm. it brought some sort of interesting dynamic to her character, where she's interested in something that wasn't, you know, allowed at that time. The male character is turns out to be Will Turner's son, which is something that's already announced in the promotional
material.
God,
has that gone on long enough that now the son's grown up? My God.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
And so he's quite interesting as well to watch. And the dynamic of wanting to rescue his father who's stuck out on the Flying Dutchman and so on. Yeah, other than that, it's a fairly decent film. Like, the acting by everyone except for maybe Johnny Depp was good. And Javier Bardem is completely creepy.
He's also terrific. He really is a great actor.
The CGI is great. The acting is more or less great. The action is great. That's mostly what people are there to watch, really. Not, you know, the whole rehashing thing. It mm-hmm. worked for Star Wars. Perhaps it might work for the viewers too. If you're just there to watch, you know, Johnny Depp muck around on Queensland's coast, then perhaps this movie is for you. But it wasn't really my cup of tea, sadly.
Excellent. All right. Well, Kevin, thank you very much.